This is Talking Heads. I'm Jeff Pope.
And I'm Gail Binkley.
Gail's the editor of the Four Corners Free Press. Twice a month, we join you to talk politics here on the Wednesday morning zine. And today we're going to talk about education and non-native species, education in southwest Colorado and the non-native species, especially the sage grouse, and that controversial issue here on the show. First, these headlines.
Former Montezuma County Undersheriff Robin Kronk is considering a plea deal that would include a 30-day jail sentence. But there's a catch. He doesn't want to serve the sentence here. The Cortez Journal reports that Kronk may plead guilty to one felony embezzlement charge and one misdemeanor charge of official misconduct if he is allowed to serve his time somewhere besides the Montezuma County Detention Center. He is scheduled for a plea hearing Thursday morning. In August, Kronk was indicted by a grand jury on 17 felony counts and one misdemeanor count related to his alleged embezzlement of approximately $7,500 from the Montezuma County Sheriff's Office. And the Mancos School District is set to be the lead plaintiff in a lawsuit against the state of Colorado over school funding. The Cortez Journal reports that the Colorado Rural Schools Caucus is launching a lawsuit designed to get back school funding that is being cut annually by the legislature. On Monday, the Montezuma County Commissioners agreed to sign a letter to local legislators Ellen Roberts and Don Corum, urging them to restore funding to the levels required in Amendment 23. That amendment to the state constitution says school funding is to increase with inflation every year. The county commissioners are moving ahead with an ordinance aimed at keeping Gunnison sage grouse out of the county. On Monday, they agreed to a draft of the ordinance that does not mention the sage grouse specifically, but bans the introduction of non-native, listed or proposed endangered species on public lands in the county. The ordinance now must be published and will face a public hearing on April 21st. And spring weekends mean crowds at Sand Canyon, but parking at the popular trailhead isn't likely to improve soon. On Monday, Canyons of the Ancients manager Marietta Eaton told the county commissioners that an area that was proposed for a new parking area would provide fewer spaces than the bumpy, slick rock area where visitors now park. Eaton said she didn't think this would be acceptable, so the monument is working on an alternate plan.
Thanks, Gail. I think we'll start today with education, then we'll jump into the sage grouse, to be native or not to be native. That is the question. Mancos School District taking a lead as a plaintiff in a lawsuit is a big deal. And we covered this on another zine program with Jim Law, who is a concerned citizen in Mancos. Mancos has seen a hit, but the four school districts in southwest Colorado have seen $4 million be taken out of their budget recently due to this interpretation of the law. And recently, what is it, $67,000 in Mancos?
Well, that's what Mr. Law is saying, that the Mancos district recently passed a mill levy override that was supposed to bring something like $276,000 a year additional money into the Mancos School District. And then they're finding that the state is taking some of that back through its creative mathematical formulations related to Amendment 23. I believe they took back something like $67,000 from the Mancos District this year. At least that's according to Mr. Law.
This is a statewide movement, and it seems like it's starting to get some traction across rural Colorado.
Well, people are frustrated. You remember, there was the huge lawsuit over Lobato school funding, which ultimately failed, although it, I think, won an initial victory and then was overturned. And that was designed at saying that rural school districts and certain school districts were not getting equal treatment and that this was unconstitutional. Well, because that failed, people who are advocates for education are still concerned because the state has been balancing its budget basically partly by cutting education and cutting it from what the voters said that they wanted when they passed Amendment 23. Now, of course, we have this new factor now, is the marijuana legalization in Colorado is supposed to be bringing some new money into the schools, but they're still facing big financial hits, as I understand it. And the county commissioners, Jim Law, came to the county commission on Monday.
The Montezuma County Commission. Yes,
the Montezuma County Commission this week, and said that the local dollars aren't filling the gap that have been left by cuts made by the state legislature. And he's written a letter to Ellen Roberts about the cuts and said that lawmakers are failing to keep their promise to voters and that they're basically being deceitful in the way that they're figuring this formula that was supposed to provide for an annual increase according to inflation and I think another percentage, like 1%. He's saying that they're just, they call it the negative factor. There's some factor that they apply in this formulation that results in the school districts losing money that they shouldn't be losing.
If you've just joined us, this is Talking Heads. I'm Jeff Pope here with Gail Binkley. It's the Wednesday morning zine, and twice a month we join you to talk politics about the Four Corners area. Specifically, we're talking education, rural education. And, you know, it's interesting. Governor Hickenlooper was elected originally partially on the plank of I believe in education and I'm going to support education. Well, I guess my question would be, how do you support education if you're not funding education? And in fact, if you're clawing back, education is taken. That was part of the Lovato lawsuit. And as we've gone through this recession, education has been the entity that's taken the hit again and again and again to balance the budget.
And it's, you know, it's not just K through 12. I mean, higher education has also been cut as well. But yeah, it's taking a big hit. And some people are very concerned. They're saying that in the long run, not having schools that are among the top, at least half of the states, you know, school funding, teacher funding, Colorado is sliding in the rankings and all of these things. And they're saying that this is, in the long run, a problem for economic development because, you know, businesses and people don't necessarily want to relocate to a place where schools are shortchanged.
Or the flip side of that is if you're raising your family here and the schools aren't up to snuff, you're going to go find a place to raise your family. I mean, the idea of talent retention is important.
Absolutely.
The surrounding states, Utah, Arizona, and New Mexico, all pay, they pay more for their teachers. They also pay more for, you know, per pupil in terms of services. So I think Colorado is somewhere in the 40s. In terms of the 50 states, mm-hmm. they're, mm-hmm. The joke is, well, we've got Alabama and Mississippi beat, and so that we should be satisfied with that.
Yeah, well, I guess if that's, that's one way of looking at it. But, you know, that's a frustration that's been expressed by school superintendents in this county, at any rate, that they can't keep teachers. Teachers, you know, head to New Mexico or even onto the Navajo Nation where they can make more pay for doing essentially the same thing.
I placed a call to Ellen Roberts to ask her about this issue, and she hadn't, this as of 2 weeks ago, had not heard very much about, and said she was didn't know very much about the issue of the clawbacks and how they were affecting local education, which is too bad.
Well, yes, because this has been going on, I think, since 2010, the 2010-2011 school year, that they've been applying this so-called negative factor to their formula and managing to make it come out so that the schools get less money than they thought they were going to get. So, yeah, it's a little surprising that she wouldn't have heard about it because it is a major issue.
The other, as we've been covering this on KSJD and some other programs, one of the big frustrations I've also heard from superintendents is that they're not sure it's coming. So this year they didn't know that they were going to have 5% cut from their budgets in January, and those are already approved budgets.
Yeah, that's makes it extremely difficult.
And meanwhile, the state apparently is operating in the black. So
yeah, we'll see if again, you know, this kind of unknown factor of the marijuana tax revenues, if this provides any relief.
So is that the sense, is that tax revenues are going to pull us out of the hole from marijuana sales, and that those all that money will go to education? So don't worry.
Well, some of it is supposed to go to education. And, of course, I think it partly depends on whether, you know, how much revenues you get depends on whether you actually allow marijuana sales in your local venue. But you're supposed to get additional revenues anyway, to some extent. And as we know, so far, the picture has been fairly rosy as far as the initial sales of marijuana have, I think, exceeded expectations.
Hmm. Well, when will this lawsuit move forward? What's your sense of that?
Well, you know how things move in the legal world. You have to have the attorneys preparing their various papers and so on. So it'll probably proceed at the usual legal pace, which is not super fast.
But. Okay. We're going to take a short break. This is Talking Heads. I'm Jeff Pope.
And I'm Gail Binkley.
Gail's the editor of the Four Corners Free Press. And we're joining you, of course, on the Wednesday Morning Zine twice a month to talk politics. We'll be back. Stay tuned.
Sometimes we're so involved in our day-to-day lives that we forget to look up and see. KSJD is a remedy. Every time you tune into KSJD, you get the opportunity to stop, listen, and really see our world. Whether it's during your morning commute or some quiet lunchtime moments or while you're settling in for the evening, the magic of voice and sound transports us to a space that helps us reflect, understand, and live our lives with open eyes. But it only happens with your support. Make a gift now at ksjd.org to keep eye-opening radio alive.
We're back. This is Talking Heads. I'm Jeff Pope.
I'm Gail Binkley.
Gail is the editor of the Four Corners Free Press, and twice a month we talk about politics here in the Four Corners area. We're going to turn again to the mighty sage grouse, which was part of the agenda on the Montezuma County Board of County Commissioners this week. But it, of course, the sage grouse is a larger issue, and it affects Southeast Utah and Dolores County, Colorado, as well as Montezuma County. And so, again, bring us up to speed in a nutshell of what's happening with the Gunnison sage grouse and what Montezuma County is doing in terms of its non-native species ordinance.
Okay, well, you know, just real briefly, the Gunnison sage grouse is a very rare bird, something like 4,000 left, and there are scattered populations of them in southwest Colorado and southeastern Utah. The species is proposed for listing as endangered, and U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service has said they're supposed to announce a decision in May about whether it will be listed. They had planned long ago to have this a decision, and were proposing that it would be listed as endangered, but they received a ton of feedback from local people, you know, very concerned about the economic impact of this. The Montezuma County Commissioners are concerned about this and recently started working on an ordinance that in its initial draft was just going to ban the bringing of non-native species into the county. Mm-hmm. It was widely criticized as overly broad, so they've been working to hone it. Now, on Monday, they heard from their county attorney, John Baxter. He presented them with two possible versions of this ordinance. One made it specific to the sage grouse. It was just talked about the Gunnison sage grouse. Doesn't want anyone to bring this in. The other one said, it didn't mention the sage grouse specifically, but it called for, I think it's fines and penalties for anyone who brings or introduces a non-native, listed or proposed endangered species into the county. But it's only going to affect public lands. They said it doesn't affect people operating on private lands. And it's specific to animal species, not plants, to get rid of any concerns about seeds and, you know, flowers, horticulture, agriculture, that kind of thing. And by making it talk about species that are proposed for endangered listing, then, you know, they've really narrowed it down even more. But there's still some questions about this. For one thing...
Hang on a second.
Go ahead.
To the questions. So the ordinance says you're not allowed to bring a non-native endangered species onto public lands in Montezuma County.
Without getting permission from the county commissioners, I need to add.
Okay. What would be a scenario that maybe pop into your head of a non-native endangered species?
Well, that's the question, because the commissioners, apparently, they've said that they believe that the Gunnison sage grouse is a non-native species. However, there are many other people who say that it was at one time present in Montezuma County. Now, remember, there are populations in Dove Creek, well, I mean, in the Dove Creek area in Dolores County, even now, although they're dwindling. And there have been sage grouse in Montezuma County. I don't think anyone disputes that. So they heard from a representative of Colorado Parks and Wildlife, the local district manager, Matt Thorpe, on Monday, and he said that the Gunnison sage grouse, that there's good evidence that it is native to Montezuma County. There are records from the 1960s of them being here. There's people with Parks and Wildlife or formerly with them that saw them when they were growing up here. And so it's not clear how this would even affect the Gunnison sage grouse. Another question is kind of who would be affected by this, because there's a question of whether the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service is going to respect, I guess, and obey a county ordinance. Mm. And then another consideration is that, according to Mr. Thorpe and some other public officials that were at the meeting, because it was their monthly meeting with some federal land representatives, Fish and Wildlife has not ever said that they had any intention of reintroducing the Gunnison sage grouse in Montezuma County or creating any critical habitat, designating any critical habitat in Montezuma County for the sage grouse. So it looks like it's kind of a non-issue.
If you've just joined us, this is Talking Heads. I'm Jeff Pope here with Gil Binkley. We're talking about the Gunnison sage grouse and the Montezuma County commissioners and their non-native ordinance, which they're working on they're working on it. They've got a draft that they're trying to get through. So this is a preemptive strike, as it were?
Yes, I think that's the intent of it, is to, you know, they're thinking that maybe somewhere down the line, I guess, that a U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, which oversees the, you know, Endangered Species Act, would potentially designate critical habitat in Montezuma County. They haven't shown any inclination to do that. Their initial proposal didn't include any critical habitat for the Gunnison sage grouse, and I'm not sure why Fish and Wildlife would reintroduce species into this county that were never here, that were non-native. For instance, when the lynx was reintroduced, none of them were brought to Montezuma County. They were let go up kind of in the Wolf Creek Pass area, well, sort of in that area, mm-hmm. in the San Juan Mountains. And some of them, I think, have strayed into Montezuma County, but they weren't actually reintroduced here, and no critical habitat was designated here. I'm just trying to think of examples of other situations that this might apply to, but on the other hand, people have also said that the lynx were here in Montezuma County at one point, so again, they wouldn't be a non-native threatened or endangered species. Matt Thorpe, the Colorado Parks and Wildlife representative, said that CPW had some concerns about the amendment or the ordinance as it was originally proposed, because it would have applied to non-native fish. And as we know, Parks and Wildlife stocks non-native fish for the purpose of sport fishing. Mm. However, he said this newer version kind of allayed his concerns because these non-native fish that they stock aren't threatened or endangered, so wouldn't apply to them. And he also said that CPW would be happy to, you know, have some memorandum of agreement with the county commissioners about how they reintroduce any species here, kind of to allay their concerns. So, you know, seems like things are in pretty good shape with the state. But as far as U.S. Fish and Wildlife, the federal agency, it's hard to say how they would even be affected by this particular ordinance.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking, well, this is, we're going back to this kind of classic Sagebrush Rebellion fight of local control versus federal control.
Yes, and, you know, the commissioners, and there was a lot of concern, as we know, a couple years back about travel management, I think, and other issues, roads on public lands, and the commissioners made a very major point of wanting the Forest Service and the Bureau of Land Management to coordinate with the county. And those officials have been making an effort to keep the county more informed and to kind of let them know everything that's going on. On Monday, Derek Padilla, the district ranger for the Dolores District of the San Juan National Forest, gave the commissioners a list of 10 issues that the San Juan National Forest or the Dolores District wants to work on coming up in 2014. And, you know, and the idea was that they want to coordinate with them on these and let them know what's going on. But I think the Forest Service would say, and, you know, I can't speak for them, but that they're doing this more out of courtesy than because they believe that it's absolutely required by law. I think that's what their attorneys have said. And that they don't have to get the county's permission for everything that they do. So, I'm just thinking, but I don't think that U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service would say anything different, that they would try to work with the counties, but I don't believe that their attorneys believe that they're bound by county ordinances.
So let's just say the Gunnison sage grouse already is in Montezuma County, okay? But there's no critical habitat. What makes you think U.S. Fish and Wildlife would not expand that? Let's just say a population grows up in the north part of the county. Why wouldn't Fish and Wildlife expand it if they really wanted to protect the Gunnison sage grouse?
So you're saying, let's say that one of the populations in Dolores County starts to grow, and then maybe they meander over the county line into Montezuma County is kind of the scenario you're talking about.
Yeah, you know, just looking over the horizon to greener pastures or something, right?
Sure. I don't know that sage grouse, you know, follow county boundaries, so that's certainly possible. Yeah, sure. You know, Fish and Wildlife could then say, well, now this is also considered critical habitat. I guess that.
I mean, they expanded the critical habitat from the Gunnison area into southeast Utah and to Dolores County, or do I have that wrong?
Well, they haven't officially stated what their critical habitat is.
They're proposing it.
Yes, yeah. And I think it was always proposed to include these satellite populations.
I see. Okay.
Because just real quickly, the reason that they're doing well in Gunnison County, and that's the largest population, people say, well, why don't you just let them stay there and forget about these other ones? But they say, you know, one wildfire or one disease could wipe that whole population out. So you have to have some in other places.
Hmm.
That's what they say.
So what's next here on this ordinance? I mean, it's
going to be published. It'll be printed in the local papers, and you know, they'll take some public comments, and they're also going to have a hearing, which, at least as I understand it, was set for April 21st.
Now, that hearing ostensibly was also to hear what the public thought of whether this was a non-native or native species. Last time we did the show, that was a piece of what we talked about, was that the commissioners said, well, we'll talk to people and determine whether this is a non-native or species.
Well, I think that was actually a little more for down the line. It's like after this ordinance is adopted, assuming that it is, then it provides, I think, that the structure would be that when an issue arises concerning a species, then at public hearings, the commissioners will determine whether they believe any particular species is native or non-native.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know that they're specifically going to be discussing that question on April 21st, although it could come up.
Hmm.
But, you know, they're going to be discussing the broader issue of this ordinance, which doesn't call out the sage grouse. It just talks about non-native endangered or threatened species or species that are proposed as endangered or threatened.
It's interesting to think of a county commission being put in the position of, oh, I'm just thinking about Copernicus arguing that the Earth is not the center of the universe, and he would go in front of political figures, and they would say, you're wrong. Politically speaking, you are wrong, even though his science at that point, hundreds of years ago, supported that. So, I mean, are we getting into that situation where you have science versus politics?
Yes, I mean, I think so, and I think there are people that do have concerns that the commissioners would be setting themselves up to make decisions that perhaps should be better left to biologists. Now, their concern, of course, about the potential endangered species listing for the sage grouse is what they've said, is twofold. One is, you know, how it would affect people on private lands. Mm-hmm. And, you know, those are understandable concerns, very, very understandable. But this ordinance doesn't apply to private lands. So their other concern, I guess, is just that they don't want anything to occur that could slow down oil and gas drilling and other uses of public lands for economic gain. And that is their concern that is being attempted to be addressed in this ordinance.
We're just going to have to follow this and keep our eye on it. So thanks, Gail.
Well, I think it'll be interesting to see what happens at the public hearing and kind of what input people have because, as I said, you know, people are very concerned and also frustrated because they feel that they don't have any input into fish and wildlife and the decisions that they make. So, you know, they're concerned about this potential endangered species listing, and the commissioners are trying to do something about it. Whether this is the answer, we'll see.
Okay, that's going to have to wrap it up for Talking Heads. I'm Jeff Pope.
And I'm Gail Binkley.
Gail is the editor of the Four Corners Free Press, and thanks. Good to be with you again, Gail.
Thanks, Jeff.
Stay tuned to KSJD for all your news, information, and entertainment.